Yes, she did. She said she got a
thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers, where our mission is to love, grow, and serve. My name is Teresa, and I am grateful to be your worship associate this morning as we begin to explore the theme of humility. Here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers, we strive to understand and live into humility the best we can. We would like to extend lots of special welcomes to those friends and family who feel new and who, in fact, are newcomers and new members to this church or Unitarian Universalism. Our music director is having time up north with family, and this morning's music will be provided by pianist Dr. Noel Ingebrigtsen and hymn leader Rebecca Donlin. Dr. Ingebrigtsen has recently moved to the area with his wife and came to our church for the Humanist Forum. He is retired music faculty from the University of Alabama, a Steinway artist, and a world piano competition winner. Becky is an accomplished singer, and we're blessed to have her and her lovely voice join us. This is a welcoming and involved congregation. You can find more information about activities in our newsletter, which is now being emailed to all members on Thursday. Visitors will find a connection card in the pew in front of them. I invite each of you to fill out the card so we can stay connected. Simply fill out the form and drop it into the offertory basket when that time comes. The most generous offering we can receive from you is a way to stay connected. After service, refreshments are available in Hobart Hall, where we will also be celebrating the upcoming birth of our nanny, Lisa. And so there will be lots of extra refreshments and blue deviled eggs, I hear, there. Visitors, we would love it if you grabbed a yellow mug for two reasons, primarily because it holds more coffee, and second of all, because it makes you like a beacon, and we will give you an onslaught of loving attention. So without further delay, let us welcome our chalice lighter this morning. Our chalice lighter is Kevin Carr. There's more to Kevin than being our resident audiovisual guru there in the back. Kevin hails from Pennsylvania, educated in Colorado in film and video, where he met his life partner, Teresa. Together, they moved to Pennsylvania without any job and an extra heartbeat, who we all know today as our bunny-loving Roman. Kevin soon found opportunity in Cape Coral, and with Teresa and Roman in tow, moved to beautiful Southwest Florida 2 years ago, where Kevin now owns and manages a small video production company. Before finding Unitarian Universalism, Kevin was a less than devout Lutheran who bordered on atheist. When Kevin is not a quiet introvert buried in technology, he enjoys a good movie, being out in nature, or in good company with good food. Please stand in body or spirit and join us in speaking the words of our covenant.
Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
The opening words for our call to worship are from Vaclav Havel. We must divest ourselves of egotistical anthropocentrism. Our habit of seeing ourselves as masters of the universe, who can do whatever occurs to us.
We must discover a new respect for what transcends us, for the universe, for the earth, for nature, for life, and for reality.
Our respect for other people, for other nations, and for other cultures can only grow from a humble respect for the cosmic order.
And from an awareness that we are a part of it, that we share in it, and that nothing of what we do is lost, but rather becomes part of the eternal memory of being where it is judged.
And that spirit of humility, knowing that we are dust and made of stardust, come, let us worship together. And how quickly I can lose the order of worship. This is a special time in our service when we call ourselves back into covenant as members and welcome our new members.
Good morning. Today we welcome into our community these new members who have chosen to make this congregation their spiritual home. Sarah Osmer DiMattina, Diane Sweeney, Deb Roberts, Roby Callahan, and Raj and Venu Gopal.
New members, we are so glad to have you here with us and that you have chosen this community of fellow seekers to travel with you on your life journeys. Will you accept our gifts of fellowship, discovery, and service? Will you offer us your unique presence and gifts? Will you add your name to the long history of Unitarian Universalist people who spread hope with our living faith? Will you engage with us as we seek to create a community and a world dedicated to love and justice? And congregation, as you affirm these new members, you also affirm the integrity of your own membership. Do we covenant to grow in love and spirit with these new members on this special day?
We do.
With great rejoicing. So let us say together again the covenant of this church, the promise that we make each week to ourselves and to each other, which holds our community together with common purpose and common love in the midst of our beautiful differences. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. And new members, you have received, as I'm awkwardly holding them, some different stones. I think I chose some that were a little too big. Each of our new members have received 5 smooth stones representing the 5 smooth stones of religious liberalism. Sometimes it can be a little tricky when you're sitting down with friends to talk to them about Unitarian Universalism, and I find that these can be helpful touchstones for us as guiding principles of our free faith. It came from an essay written by the late James Luther Adams, a Unitarian theologian. And in it, he describes these smooth stones, hearkening back to the times of the Torah when it was written of the five smooth stones that took down the Goliaths of their times. And for us these days, it's important to know that these can be touchstones of your faith. So the first stone is the stone of possibility. One of my favorites, the stone of possibility, is the reminder. Here, can you help me hold these? Yeah, just hold those stones. And I'll just hold up the possibility stone. See, everything is possible with the holy and with good people. The stone of possibility is the reminder that we are always in a process of learning and that revelation is continuous. It's not sealed in one holy book. We're in a continual process of growing and learning. And so you have been given the stone of possibility. And importantly, also, the second stone is the stone of respect. And that's the understanding that we come here freely of our own will. No one had their arm twisted to be here. And that you come here to bring your own energy, enthusiasm, your own gifts, and your own spiritual gifts, and all the other different gifts that you bring. And so we cultivate community by living in covenant with one another and respecting one another amongst all our beautiful differences. The stone of respect. And then there's the stone of justice, developing our moral obligation to direct one's effort towards the establishment of a just and loving community. We're called to look at injustices not only in our own lives, but in the lives of our neighbors and our strangers. The stone of justice. And then, the stone of power. The reminder that there are institutions in our world and systems that are corrupt, and that we ourselves are an organized religion who must organize ourselves to work for justice, that we have power as an institution to live into. And as we bind ourselves together, we become more powerful as a force of positive change in our community now and for future generations. The stone of power. And then, there is a stone of hope, the recognition that all of us are on a spectrum from birth to death, and that there's something tragic about that in the human existence, and yet at the same time, we understand that life is worth living, that there is a goodness that is possible, if only we work for it so that all may know it. The stone of hope, a promise of fulfillment and grace that love will prevail, and that the arc of the moral universe does bend towards justice, the stone of hope. Dear new members, these are your touchstones, a gift by which you may remember this special day, and may this gift sustain you in your faith as you continue to grow into the way you are a blessing to this world. Let us now join in applause as our new members return to their seats. Thank you, Diane. Thank you. So I'd like to call forward all our young and young at heart to join me and to circle round as is comfortable. You can just circle around here, sit on the steps, whatever you'd like. I've got something here for you to look at, and you can touch it if you want. All right. Let's see. Oh, I've got a new friend here. I haven't met you. Hi, I'm Allison. Do you mind opening the Wonder Box? Okay, ready? Oh, that was my attempt. Humble attempt. Okay, what's in there? Can you hold it up so all the people out there can see it too? What is that? A karate belt. So I used to do martial arts, and I really enjoyed studying the martial arts. I studied karate. And when I started karate, and you can pass that around if you want, it's infused with lots of sweat and dirt, just so you know, just my warning. You're not supposed to wash karate belts because you want to keep all of that good energy from all your training and your strife. So when I started karate, I received a white belt, and I actually studied in Chicago, and when I moved here, I started at another dojo, and I got another white belt. I didn't get a brown belt again. I got another white belt because it was a new beginning, and it was a way of reminding me that I was learning in a new system and a way to stay humble. But one of the things that I've always loved about karate that was new in my life was that when we open the door of the building that's called the dojo, the training hall, the first thing you do, would you hold that, dear? The first thing you do, at least especially in the traditions that I studied, is you bow, us. And you say us, which means I'm striving with patience here. I'm working on this art and continuing to work in it, and the us. And then what you do is when you walk in, you get all changed into your fancy outfit, the karate outfit. It's called a gi, and you put your belt on. And then when you get onto the training floor, we bow again. And I remember the first time I bowed, it was explained to me, there were all these beautiful blue flags over the boundary right there. And bowing under those blue flags was, the blue flags were supposed to be like waves, a symbol of waves that would wash us clean of the day so that we could be present to that new moment of training as we worked on our spirit and our technique. And so the bowing continued. So we would all line up, and then we would bow some more. We would bow to our seniors. We would bow to the dojo center and to the founder of our martial art, and we would bow as we began. And whenever we practiced sparring or practiced different partner moves with partners, we always began with what? A bow. Now, I grew up Unitarian Universalist, and I grew up understanding that I really don't need to be submitting myself to anyone. And I grew up learning that I have my own mind, and so there's something about bowing sometimes that didn't feel right, but somehow in that context it felt so good, it felt so right to bow. And one of the things as I became more advanced as a martial artist is that I learned is that sometimes you'd be working with someone who was your junior, and of course we bow to that junior just as the junior bows to the senior. And part of that relationship is called the senpai-kohai relationship. The senpai is the senior and the kohai is the junior. And what happens is the senior person, so like some fancy black belt, they're bowing to the beginner white belt. Because in every moment of practice, we have the opportunity to learn from someone else. There's always an opportunity to learn, and the bow is not some humbling to another person or some higher power, God, but actually perhaps that power within to continue to learn. And so I want to invite you to find a partner, and if we've got folks with mobility issues, let's be mindful of that. Find a partner, and I want you to bow to one another and say to one another, there is always more to learn. Okay, go find your partner. And you can bow to them. Thank you. I bow to you. There is always more to learn. There's always more to learn. There's always more to learn. Always more to learn. And so in doing that also, the fact of the matter is that when we were practicing in karate, we discovered that we were learning. I was learning from those white belts. So when I was sparring with the white belts, I couldn't just throw punches. I had to make sure that they were seeing what was happening. I had to be responsive. I had to slow down and perfect my technique. So there's always more to learn. And in some ways, it's important to always remember that we can bow to that mystery humbly, that there is always more to learn. And so we continue with our quest as we sing our children and teachers out to their classes with Go Now in Peace.
Go now in peace.
Worship associate meeting while we were divvying up assignments, I enthusiastically volunteered to take this Sunday, the first Sunday we'd be exploring humility, because I thought it sounded doable and maybe a little bit easy. And I thought that because I had a pretty standard Catholic upbringing, which aside from holding humility as a virtue, had tons of examples of humble people, especially women, like the mother of Christ, who was living so deeply in humility that she was willing to sacrifice her marriage and her son for the salvation of mankind. And while my parents disagree on this point, one of them very adamantly claims that I was named for a woman who was so virtuous even at the age of 12 that she knew she would take the sacred vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience. She later sacrificed the comfort of home and even a cushy headmistress position that she had held for 20 years through a convent in India to found an order of nuns who, because they lacked funding from one of the wealthiest institutions on this planet Earth, lived in abject poverty so they could merely serve the lowest of the low, in her own words. So in light of having all these examples, I thought it would be pretty easy. And that's what I'm about. Several weeks passed, several articles read, several podcasts listened to, and several times I sat down at a word processor and nothing came. I got stuck on, one, not feeling very virtuous myself, and two, wondering how to achieve humility in my own life, which caused me to call the very definition of the word into question. I went to Kevin, very frustrated, and told him everything I learned about the word. At the end of my tirade, he told me to stop focusing on definitions, and I told him that he was being silly. When I explained my struggle to Reverend Allison a few days later, she was patient and she listened, and then she told me to stop focusing on definitions. And I have to say that even in this moment, I'm feeling a little embarrassed that I'm still having a hard time with humility as a word. But I think I know when I've witnessed it in my own life. I've seen humility in a bow, in a lowering, a prostration, defined as placement of the body in a reverentially or submissively prone position as a gesture, which I've seen several times in various contexts. As an example, I've seen it in the practice of Islam to signify worship and reverence to Allah. In some circles, when accompanied with the word namaste, it refers to recognizing the divine in another. I think I've also seen metaphorical bowing or psychic bowing. In 2009, I found myself in crisis. In a last-ditch effort to save myself, I began attending meetings. One that I went to was a Sufi meditation group for people with post-traumatic stress disorder. And so it went that five of us would meet in a basement once a week at 8 p.m. and surrender to the room. Our teacher told us that moving through the world as we do is an overstimulating and intoxicating experience. To sit in our truth and do the work of healing, we had to symbolically bow or search for that place of inner sobriety from which we could be unencumbered of the trappings and distractions of our lives. If we could shake off our egos and lay ourselves bare at the feet of our truths or get psychically naked, we could move towards personal wholeness. Not only that, but because we were psychically prone, so remember, a position of reverence for everything else that existed in that space, we could move towards collaborative and collective wholeness. And so this is what's important. This was my epiphany in this whole process of talking to Kevin and doing research and then talking to Reverend Allison over here. Maybe so it goes with the whole of creation. Maybe if I challenge myself to always recognize the divinity and humanity in earth and all the other creatures and the forces and the water that we're praying so hard to save, I can surrender to the work that that reality entails. Excuse me, which is so much bigger than me and my desires. If I recognize the divinity in another, how can I not learn from them or deny their suffering? And more importantly, how can I knowingly condone and contribute to it? And so I feel like I've circled back to Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa now, and most of the time I still don't feel very virtuous. It seems impossible to me that I could deny the call of working towards collective wholeness, though, when I have felt so humbled. So I'm still struggling with the word, and mostly with the exercise of humility, by being unencumbered with all of the stuff of my life, because I like stuff, and I like being right, and I like being praised, and above all things, I like getting my way. And I don't always like making sacrifices because they cause me inconvenience or make me feel less exceptional than I think I am. But when I occasionally succeed, and usually it's in here when I'm surrounded with so many teachers, both new and established, I can engage in the greater work to which we're all invited.
Thank you.
Now is the time in our service when we bring into the circle of love and hope the joys and the sorrows in this community and beyond these walls. We have now come upon the second anniversary of Michael Brown's death, and so many other black bodies who have been murdered. And so let us continue to hold in our hearts and minds the grief and the heartbreak in our communities. It is also a time within our own community to remember we might show up as those in our community grieve. A memorial service has been set for Jerry Blumenfeld to honor his life Saturday, October 1st, 2 p.m. here, and all are welcome to mourn and to celebrate. And I want to officially bring my gratitude to you for time away with my family, with great gratitude and thanks to all of you and to the worship associates and our team carrying so that the church rolls on. And now we are invited into a time of humility. I invite you into the spirit of meditation, in which you might make your body as comfortable as it will allow. For some, it might, if it feels safe for you, you might close your eyes or simply rest your gaze and allow your focus to soften. And as we enter in this time of centering, you might notice your breath. Sacred breath. On the inhale, nourishing. On the exhale, cleansing. You might be able to notice your body breathing itself. Pay attention to where your body comes into contact with the earth, our Mother Earth, grounding down, feeling gravity. You might also note that the crown of your head reaches to the heavens. Inviting your shoulders to move away from your ears and down your back as they will allow. And as you bring your attention inward, you might take a moment to call up some form of gratitude or something that happened this week where you felt a presence of transcendence. Whether it was the spirit of love moving in and through you, or witnessing that movement in someone else, and allow that presence of love to wash over you now. And if that doesn't feel possible, Know that there are so many in this room who pray and intend for that feeling to be yours once more. As you call forth the spirit of love, the God of your understanding, that presence that is so sacred, I invite you to call up a memory of a time in which you felt humbled. Remember again who you were with, if anyone at all. Your environment, or the environment around you. And the feelings that you experienced. And now I invite you to think upon what you learned. What did you learn from this humbling experience? And wonder, are there any continued intentions or callings that this experience invites you to live into? And if so, you might name that continued learning and recommit to that intention. And if no lesson or intention comes, just know that someday, should you continue to take time to turn inward, the learning will reveal itself to you, because all of life is a teaching moment. As you return to your breath, if your eyes were closed, you might flutter them open. Coming back from turning your gaze inward, back to this space with all of these good people, with the prayer that we might live into our sacred callings and our highest aspirations and our most challenging intentions. Blessed be.
We have a ritual we call the Stones of Intention, in which you are invited to come forward or to the sides to offer a stone of intention, that perhaps you picked up a stone on the way in, or they're right here at the forward or the sides. And it can be something, some sort of sacred intention that you want to offer up, to commit to in your life in the days ahead. Or perhaps it's to honor someone, or a joy, or a sorrow, or a milestone in your life. Let the ritual be what you need. And so during the music meditation, I invite you forward or to the sides to offer this stone. And my prayer is that it brings you peace.
Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn number 16, "'Tis a Gift to Be Simple."
One of my favorite hymns. So by turning and turning, we come round right, that we bow and we bend. That song reminds me of a couple recent experiences I've been having. It's humbling sometimes for me as someone who's supposed to be a paragon of good behavior. When I'm driving, again, it's always the driving. When I'm driving and I say such unkind things, and I humbly submit this to you and seek forgiveness, that it truly is a character flaw of mine, this will that I have to have my way. And I guess it's a human thing, right? It happens, doesn't it? So I have, speaking of driving, you know, I always take Shoemaker down to Plantation. Okay, you guys know that? It's a great way to go. Well, then there was all this construction because they're doing a traffic circle at Crystal and Plantation. However, the traffic circle rocks. It's fabulous. And it's this beautiful, I was like, oh, this will preach. Okay, this will preach because here's the thing. It used to be you were heading east and you were on Crystal and you try to take a left-hand turn around 5 o'clock. Oh, I don't think so. Dream on. You couldn't do it because everyone was going 60 miles an hour. They were having their way, and they weren't thinking about these people like us who were just like hoping, and you know, you just pull out and sort of just tear out of there, making the sounds to try to get out safely. So now there's this thing that happens where it's like, oh, well, I'm the first here, so I will go. And then I will go around and make my left-hand turn, and someone else yielded to me. So this idea of sometimes having to yield just for the common good of the flow, you get it? I have a toddler. I am learning about wills. She has formed her own will. It's this. I don't want to put my shoes on. I don't want to put my shoes on. And these crazy feet that come flying at me when we're trying to get shoes on to get out the door. And so what I'm discovering is that even though I'm the parent and I have this power over, in some ways, as I'm trying to modify my behaviors as a parent and understanding, yes, there are certain ways, there are rules in which I have to keep my daughter's body safe. But I'm humbled by the fact that she has her own will and development that is to be respected and honored. And so there are two choices when this is about wanting to put on the shoes or not wanting to put on the shoes or the underwear or whatever. There's one choice, which is you will put on your underwear and you're yanking it up there and the body's wiggling and their limbs flying and hitting my body, and it's really not a good scene because there's also a lot of screaming and crying and gnashing of teeth, and then that yucky place in me that's activated sometimes when I'm behind the wheel, same thing happens. And I get angry. And so then, the other choice is to understand that I will prevail because it is my job to keep her safe, and that sometimes there's glass on the streets and we wear shoes.
And we get in the car, and we drive somewhere, we sing songs, everything's great, and then as we're getting out, I say, hey, how about we put those shoes on? Okay, no problem. And so sometimes it's about being willing to be in the flow, to yield a little bit in order for the larger flow to keep on keeping on. And so in Unitarian Universalism, we collect a group of people who all have very strong wills, yes? Okay, y'all got some opinions up in here. Some strong opinions. At the same time, we cultivate a community in which we celebrate and honor our differences. And we have a vision now for 2021 to be an inclusive community. And so part of understanding this humbling experience is understanding that everyone has different ways. And how do we center around our common values and the promises and the covenant that we make to move forward in our differences? And sometimes to bow and to bend and to yield. Because it's in the bowing and the bending that we don't break. Now, our friends who are in recovery, they know all about humility. And in the seventh step, is I humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings. Now, to submit oneself to a higher power, the submission isn't about God saying, ha, 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 I'm the old white dude with a beard, and I am all powerful, and you are submitting to me. Instead, it is the spirit of love celebrating that you are emptying yourself of ego and getting down to the essence of the gift that you are to the world. That the bowing isn't about, as in one of the teachings we came across when Teresa and I were talking, it's in Buddhism, that the bowing to the teacher isn't about the teacher feeling all powerful and all smarter than anyone. The teacher is appreciating that the student is willing to bow and empty themselves. To empty themselves. So to be open, to yield, to bow, to bend, it is a spiritual practice. And so to humbly ask God to remove one's shortcomings, it's simply an asking within, oh, I need some help. And it could be the God of your understanding, it could be the God in the room, it could be that transcendent value that you submit yourself to, that you sacrifice yourself to, so that you can live into the gift of the world that each and every one of you are. And so there's something powerful about the pursuit of humility in a culture that tells us it's weakness or that it's punishment. And instead, that humility is the pursuit of humility is the pursuit of coming into your own power and your own goodness and your own holiness. And then in that funny way, of course, I think it was, there's some quote out there that it's anonymous. It says, as soon as you say that you're humble, you're not humble anymore. But C.S. Lewis says that, who is a Christian writer, mystic, beautiful author, and he said, you know, humility isn't about thinking less of yourself, it's about thinking of yourself less. So this way of emptying oneself, of being open, of yielding, and when you thought in your meditation of these humbling experiences you've had, they may have been challenging experiences, they may have been grief-filled, awful experiences, they may have been experiences of awe or all of it wrapped up together. But believe me, those experiences will come again. And will you remain open to the lesson? There is always more to learn. Amen.
Spirit and join in hymn number 407. We're going to sit at the welcome table.
We're going to sit at the Yes. Thank you, Noel. Thank you, Becky.
We truly are a generous congregation, and one of the ways we live our values is by making financial contributions to organizations in our greater community. This August, we're donating all undesignated funds to the Alliance for Fair Food, the ally organization to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. If you wish to donate directly to UUCFM, please check the appropriate box on the collection card before placing it in the offertory basket. Otherwise, I'm very happy to invite up Priscilla, who is interpreting for Oscar, who are both representatives for the Alliance for Fair Food.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Antes que nada, quisiera agradecer a todos por la invitación que nos dan de estar aquí presentes.
First of all, I want to thank all of you for the invitation that you've made to have us here today.
Es siempre para nosotros un placer venir a presenciar un servicio con ustedes que es muy inspirador y muy espiritual poder compartir con ustedes.
It's such an honor to be present in services like these that are so inspirational.
Antes que nada, muchísimas gracias a todos, a la pastora Allison especialmente, por el apoyo que nos han dado a lo largo de nuestro trabajo o a lo largo de la campaña que hemos tenido como trabajadores agrícolas.
And we especially want to thank all of you for all of the support that you've given us throughout our whole campaign, especially Pastor Allison and all of you that have been a part of this struggle from the beginning of our fight as agricultural workers.
Y también por su apoyo económico que nos dan siempre que la alianza, la coalición pide a ustedes. Sabemos que el apoyo económico es una parte fundamental en que hoy en día estamos logrando grandes cambios en la industria agrícola.
And we're particularly thankful for all the financial support that you've provided for us as the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and the Alliance for Fair Food, which is such an essential part of the work that we do.
La campaña por comida justa hoy, gracias a las 14 corporaciones que están dentro de este programa, hoy se están viendo cambios bien importantes dentro del trabajo.
Thanks to the Campaign for Fair Food and the Fair Food Program, we've been able to see so many changes that have been transforming the working conditions for farm workers.
Cambios, por ejemplo, en el pasado lo que pasaban es el acoso sexual, robo de salario, maltrato físico y verbal hacia los trabajadores. Hoy en día, ese sistema ha cambiado gracias a que las corporaciones y gracias a también al apoyo de ustedes que ha participado en diferentes acciones, hoy en día pues es totalmente diferente.
Thanks to these 14 corporations that have been in partnership with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers through the Fair Food Program, and thanks to all of you and all the support that we get from our allies, today we see that there's a lot of changes that have come about enforcing the human rights of farm workers. So wage theft, sexual harassment, and physical and verbal abuse are no longer tolerated in the fields under the Fair Food Program.
Por todos esos cambios que vemos como trabajadores, queremos invitarlos a seguir apoyándonos, queremos invitarlos a seguir participando en las diferentes actividades o acciones que hacemos.
In order to extend this transformation that's been going on in the fields for farm workers, we want to extend our invitation for all of you to continue working together with us, to continue coming to our actions and supporting us.
Y esta invitación va para todos. La coalición y la alianza estamos teniendo un encuentro donde estamos invitando a diferentes personas que vengan a saber más de nuestra comunidad, que vengan a saber más sobre cómo va la campaña. Entonces el próximo mes Vamos a tener un evento donde nos gustaría, si alguien de aquí pudiera participar, es bienvenido.
And everyone is welcome to join us in solidarity and supporting us as the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. And one specific way that we would like to extend an invitation would be through this. We have an upcoming summit where we're going to have a large number of network allies that will be present. And we want to invite all of you to be present at this action that we're going to be having in Naples in September.
Así que muchas gracias y esperemos vernos más seguido, tanto aquí en la iglesia como en las actividades que la coalición llama siempre para hacer posible que más corporaciones puedan participar en la campaña que, como lo mencioné, está logrando grandes cambios en la vida de los trabajadores.
And we just want to say that we're so thankful for all of you, as we are for all of our allies and our allies that are people of faith, which have been such an essential part in this struggle and in creating these changes that have come about in the field. So we're thankful, and I just wanted to add that if you want any more information, we're going to be present in our table, and so you could learn more about what we're doing, and also when and where we're going to be having this action.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
The offering will now be given and received.